Okay, so we're back to our story about telling the truth or telling lies. This class in previous series was titled "Why Men Lie." I'm only mentioning that because it's come to my attention that there are quite a few females who watch this class, and I think it's important to mention that what we're about to discuss is relevant to women as well, but there's a slightly different approach as to why women lie. And that's, if we were having a class for women, then there would be a few more things to discuss, because the female vantage point on all of this is different than the male vantage point. There are different things driving women than men. There are different things that men fear as opposed to women. We have different fears, and so we have different things driving us, and so the reason we lie is slightly different. But nonetheless, I think that women will also benefit from what we're discussing now. It's just some points may resonate with women less than men. So let's take the example we ended with. You came home late from work, and you misled your wife into thinking there was a lot of traffic. And let's ignore the punchline where she actually figured out that you're lying to her. Let's assume you get away with it. And let's assume you get away with most of the lies you would say. What really happens when a person lies is a person is making an unconscious, semi-conscious decision to leave the other person out of their lives. What I'm really saying when I say you wouldn't believe how much traffic there was is I'm saying there's a part of my life I do not want you in. I do not want your input as to whether I should have stayed up that late with the internet. You wake up late in the morning, a classical example, you're rushing out to work and your wife says, "Gee, what time did you go to sleep last night?" And you're a little embarrassed that this is the second, third, 15th, 20th, 100th time that you've gone to sleep that late because you were sitting up doing nonsense online. So you try avoiding the question. Now, why are you avoiding the question? Because I don't feel like facing my weaknesses in you. I have to face my own weaknesses, and I try to avoid that. So to bring them up to the surface and tell you about them and then have to face them, I don't want to do that. In other words, I don't want you part of this part of my life. So on some level, you could say that's legitimate. But what really happens is that a person allows himself to develop a separate life. You're really allowing yourself to develop a parallel life. And men really want their freedom. I do not want someone else telling me, "You know, if you'd shut the internet, if you didn't even get on it, or if you would have come help me in the kitchen like I asked you to, you wouldn't be oversleeping. You know, when we were dating, we did discuss that it's really unhealthy for kids to see their father getting up late in the morning." Let's take another example. It's Shabbos morning. You wake up, it's 9 o'clock, your wife is in deep snooze. You go out, you sit down, you read the newspaper, you learn a little bit, you drink your coffee, you look at your watch, oh my gosh, if I show up to shul now, everything's over. So you meander, you get dressed, you do go to shul, you don't go to shul, whatever you do. Lamaisa, your wife, gets up at 11 o'clock. How's davening this morning? So you know you have a clean getaway, right? She has no clue that you never made it to shul or you didn't make it to davening. What do you answer? "How was davening this morning?"
"I'm sure it was."
Now, if you tell her, "I didn't make it to davening this morning," so you know she's going to be really frustrated. She's going to say, What kind of house are we bringing up here? What are our kids going to feel like? You want this to be their norm? I know we're chozrim b'tshuva, but certain things have to be red lines. Now you've heard this a million times before, and you don't want to hear it again. So you view it as two choices. Choice number one, tell her the truth and get really annoyed as she gets really annoyed and have a destroyed Shabbos the rest of Shabbos. Choice number two, don't tell her what went on. Nothing is going to happen. She won't know the difference. Move on with life. You have a beautiful Shabbos together. I got news for you. There's a choice number three out there. Those are not the two choices. Those are the two choices when you don't think about life. When you feel like these are the behaviors we're accustomed to, and so I have those two choices. What would happen if you tell your wife, look, I know you wanted me to be in shul this morning. You know what? I also wanted me to be in shul this morning. I know you're unhappy with the fact that I didn't go this morning. So am I. I know you want to tell me that if I were really unhappy about it, I would do something about it. And last night, you did tell me, or badger me. Oh, don't say badger me. Okay. You did tell me, get to bed, so that you'll get up in the morning. And you did ask me if you should set an alarm clock for Shabbos. So you're right. I didn't. I made a mistake. What happens next? You took all the wind out of her sails. She can't really start saying, well, okay. Try approaching it directly. Instead of saying, I didn't make it to davening this morning. And then letting her take the floor and tell you everything you don't want to hear. Why don't you tell her, look, I know it's a disappointment to you and I want to do different and I'm going to work on it. I'm a work in progress. I'm not yet there. You know what? I just want to tell you, to my mind, that's called, guys, listen closely, being a man. Because the other option of lying is really being a chicken. And I'll tell you what, it's very easy and very tempting. You know how many men I see being chicken? Standing at the checkout counter and the guy in front of me is buying mint extract. So I look at it and I say, wow, that's really cool. You know, mint extract is so powerful that you can put a teaspoon in and make a whole batter of mint chocolates. It's so potent. One little teaspoon can make... If you put two drops into a cup of water, it's more powerful than mint tea. It's one of the most powerful things in the world, you know, flavor-wise, mint extract. So the guy tells me, yeah, I know, it's the only thing I could rinse my mouth with to cover up the smoking I do so my wife won't tell. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, okay, you're chicken, huh? Right? Now, what would happen if you'd come and say, yeah, I have a problem, I smoke. And she'd say, yeah, and I don't want you to smoke. And you'd say, okay, I respect that, and I'm going to work on it, but I'm not there yet. I don't know. I looked at the guy in front of me at the checkout counter. Years ago, I would think, boy, his wife must be a real witch. Today, I think, no, he's not doing it right. And the relationship ends up suffering because we're not together. I'm in my own world. I'm creating bubbles for me to go to. I can escape to other places. If we can be open, if we can put things on the table, then we can actually build a real relationship. But it's very hard. It's very hard. It just shows us how hard it is to be a real man. Yes?
Realistically, how many times can you give that speech you want to try harder, go to shul, stop smoking, or whatever?
You want to know the truth?
That is the truth, though.
You want to know the truth? How many times can you say it to yourself?
A lot.
Okay. You can say it. I think if that's the truth, that's what you should say. And I'll tell you, I've seen the inverse. Couples that are willing to say it, what ends up happening is he doesn't even have to say it. Because once he's acknowledged, this is where I'm at, so then she can be more forgiving. Because she also understands he wants different. So she'll be frustrated, but she'll realize that if I want him to grow, I sort of got to give him his space. He's obviously not doing great. And, okay, where I can, I'll help him, and where not, not. If you try the other way, that's where it explodes and backfires. So you're looking for a million ways to cover up the fact that you're smoking. What kind of life is that? Even if you reach a point where you say, look, I want it to work, it's not working. I'm not sure what I'm going to do about it. I'm not dealing with it now. At least work together. Whereas if you cover up, which is the male intuition, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to hear her nagging again. I don't want to hear her yelling again. It's called being chicken. And it's called running away from the relationship. And ultimately, it gnaws away at the relationship, because the next step, which is what you're not really factoring, is that you really start despising this part of the relationship. Because, come on, I'm the man. You guys know that, right? Yeah. You don't want to feel chicken. You don't like that feeling. And then you start looking at it and saying, why do I have to be scared of her? And then the next step is, you get up and you say, I didn't go to shul this morning, so there. She doesn't deserve that. She looks at you and says, oh, great, right, okay, so I won't cover my hair tomorrow. And you look at her and say, wait, what's going on here? Now she's looking at you and saying, what do you want from me? Wait, what are you coming to me like that for? And you'll say, what do you mean? I was precluding your explosion. And she'll say, I didn't explode. And you'll say, yeah, last time you did. So... That's another problem. We're focused on the Jewish home. I'm saying, from a Jewish home perspective, there's a great temptation to try to avoid it, but you have to realize it leads to an explosion and it leads away from connection. What happens is you're running away. You're finding a cave and you're running away from that relationship. So you'll say, sure, I'm running away. I don't want that part of the relationship. But why? Fix it. Address it. Go head on and say, yeah, I know. You want me to stop smoking? I want me to stop smoking. It's not working. Let's take a classical example, because to some people, smoking isn't real. You want a diet. You want to lose weight. And you tell yourself, I shouldn't be eating ice cream. So you come to an agreement. You tell your wife, we only eat ice cream at the end of the week. And then suddenly the tub of ice cream is missing. So your wife comes and says, did you see the tub of ice cream? And you say, it's amazing what goes on in this freezer. There's evaporation, you know. I don't know. Did you see it? Okay, so there you're a little cornered. But then there are other things, you know. The kids can get everywhere. Where'd those chocolates go? You got to ask the kids. I could have sworn I left it here. Well, don't you know you should leave it higher up? Okay, little things. Honey, I came across this receipt that says you bought a lot of food at the supermarket that didn't make it to the house. So you look at the receipt and you say, yeah, don't you often pick up the next guy's or the previous guy's like receipt? Doesn't that happen to you? Sometimes they give you the wrong receipt. Like, isn't that funny? Me? With all those sweets? Come on. With your food, why would I be looking to eat that, right? Okay. So we know this halacha mishanim mipnei shalom. The halacha does tell us that for the sake of shalom bayis, you could twist the truth. So your wife puts on a dress, and it's not too flattering. And she says, have I gained any weight or does this fit me? So now you're in a bind. So the halacha comes and says, you can say things differently. You can say, you know, the wash has been shrinking my clothing too. The halacha says sometimes for the sake of peace, you can twist things a little bit. The problem is we take it out of hand. People who come home late from work will say, Mishanim ipnei shalom. You know, I ain't going to have shalom bayis if I tell her the truth. I've seen this a lot, and unfortunately, I see the next step too. Meaning it's very common that people will use this tool, abuse this tool, misapply this halachic concept, and find themselves slowly growing apart, because this leads us to another point, which is not really the focus here. But in truth, we want a relationship that encompasses our weaknesses as well. And it's sad that most people do not have confidence that they could share their weakness with their spouse without getting a blow up. That's a fact. And you can't expect different. And even so, even with that disappointment, and we will discuss, God willing, in later classes how to correct that situation, but even so, you are better off being open and honest. And again, you have that choice three, which means dealing with her vantage point. It's not two choices. You have a third choice. You can come out and say, yes, I did something that I'm not thrilled about either. I stayed up late last night doing stupidities, and that's why I woke up late this morning, and it was wrong of me. And yes, more work fell on you because I did something wrong, and I apologize. I'm really not happy about it. If you can go that route three, to my mind, that's called being a man. That's taking the truth, facing it, and facing it with your partner. It doesn't come naturally. Naturally, what happens is it's fight or flight. You got two choices, right? Fight, tell her the truth and deal with the fight. Flight, avoid the truth and find the, you know, find the way out through a lie. No, there's a third option. And that third option, and even if you can't figure out the third option, 99% of the time you're better off putting the facts on the table. Now, yeah?
Is there such thing as, are there things that you shouldn't share in the relationship that would be considered a lie by omission?
Okay. So that's a broad topic, especially for Machon Meir. I want to touch on it for a minute and maybe remind me and we'll try to expand on it. There are parts of your life that do not belong in the relationship. Your previous relationships with women do not belong there. And even though she'll ask you, you could tell her you were in this class and you heard that it's not good for a relationship to start discussing other women. And you could also add, and I think this is an important point, tell her, look, I'm trying to forget this part of my life. I want you to be the only woman in my life. I don't want to think about what happened in the past. Obviously, I have a history, and it's not something I'm happy about. The last thing I want to do is revisit that history. I don't remember the details. So she'll ask you, do you ever compare me? And of course, the answer is no. You'll tell me, ah, but I do. And I'll tell you, okay, so then this is something you have to work on, and this is part of Mishanim Mipnei Shalom, I think. I think this is part of what has to stay out of the relationship, because I don't think a woman can live with the feeling she's being compared to someone else, just like a guy can't live with that feeling. It's natural that a person will have to contend with this. It's true. It is a hardship. You can't ignore your past experiences. You can try to forget them. The more we think about something, the more it becomes a part of us. The less we think about something, then we can really shelve it and move on in life. And you'd be surprised how well we can do that. If you really want it to be out of your life, it can be out of your life. So that's something which I think a person should leave out of his life. People sometimes have a history that has all kinds of dark skeletons to it. A lot of that doesn't have to enter the relationship. We had a student who was a Christian missionary. And then he was really Jewish, but his parents had become Christian missionaries. And we had more than one like that. We had a few like that. So if you come to your wife and say, you know, before we got married, before I came to Machon Meir, I'd always be lying in bed looking up at a cross. It's not going to make her feel so good. You know, it's not a detail that's going to add to her life. The challenge here, and this is something which I think every person who has these challenges has to consult with someone who really understands them and the tshuva process and marriage. The challenge here is that Sometimes a person feels like this is a part of who I am. And if I can't share with her who I am or where I've come from, then I can't have a real relationship with her. Where you draw that line is like a surgeon. You got to be very sharp with that knife to know what belongs in and what belongs out. That's a big challenge, and that's why I wouldn't give a blanket formula. I think that in many areas, you really have to consult with someone who, again, understands you, understands the tshuva process, and understands you, the tshuva process, and marriage.